check you off. You get the pass. You have to walk, you know, through the parking lot to get to the location. Then I have to have a lady come down. She has to escort me to all these places. So if I was able to do my route on my own and just go in and go out, I have no problem doing it. But the fact that, you know, we're bothering these people, they really don't want to be doing this for us. And these are just my personal frustrations. And I'm looking at my walking route, you know, in the winter. And I agree to this, so I'm happy to do whatever it is. I'm just wondering if in the future maybe we can relax the weekly audit and, you know, maybe a couple times a month as opposed to four. I'm just throwing stuff out there. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, if we have a brutal winter, trying to get to my locations in a foot of snow could be difficult on my part of things. The other thing is, I've developed my own sheets, so I have monthly sheets for each location, so that I don't have to go from paper to paper. I have one sheet. I walk into 90 Washington Street, and I can see my notes from the previous week. A machine was half empty. It was this. It was that. And you go into the frustrations about Pepsi. I go back week to week, and the same problem is staring me in the face. You know, I've made the phone call. If there's no product, I mean, I'm going 2-3 weeks with sold out product. And all we do is leave a message. There's no one to call back. There's no one to get a direct line and that I know of. I'm only dialing the number that's on the front of the machine. For repairs, no problem. I seem to get repairs, you know, that's easy. It seems, I'm not saying it's easy to get them repaired, but, you know, I have one location where there's a machine that has to be replaced. I did call to check up on that, and of course they can't give you it's when a machine becomes available that they're able to replace it. But it's like I just go back week to week and I see the same issues that aren't getting solved, and then it looks like we're not doing our job, and that's where they're coming to us like, well, didn't you make the phone call? Yes, I made the phone call, you know, and that's where it goes back to what you said about we have to follow up, and I'll follow up all day long. I don't have a problem with that. It's just kind of frustrating when you go in and we're just getting ridiculed at each stop we go to week to week because they think it's just excessive. So those are my frustrations. I'm sure you've heard more from other people, but
no doubt.
That's just my interest.
And before anyone adds to the context, I just want to kind of follow back here. I think, you know, the good thing about this situation is it is a pilot, right? And this is the purpose of why we initiated this as a pilot, to kind of identify what's working, what's not working, you know, maybe identify other paths, maybe other schedules for locations in which, you know, it seems as though frustrations in the fact that you have someone that's guiding you. And maybe that's something, again, not putting this in stone, but maybe we need to revamp any location in which you're being, you know, escorted to. Maybe that is a 2-week, because at the end of the day, I could honestly say I could see that being frustrating to someone and the building if you're taking a body, an employee, away from their role and responsibility to oversee the machine. So again, we're in that pilot stage for that case. Now to kind of touch back with you, Keith, in you know, identifying obviously empty machines, that's definitely a concern. And I think, you know, situations like that, and Tracy can definitely chime in, may need to be directed directly to Tracy if they weren't, because, you know, Tracy's obviously, her position seems to get things moving a little bit, you know, faster or expedited in the time of need. So there's just certain situations in which, you know, we have control over, such as a refill. There's other ones when you're talking about product changes and so forth that Pepsi's pretty firm on, and there's a process behind that. But refill should not be, you shouldn't see that week to week. But I'll let Tracy kind of jump in, just to maybe add some context.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. It's good to hear that, you know, this level of comment, because I once I'm aware of something, then I can actually help. First layer is always you with the company, in the means that we've provided you, the phone call, the 800 number, the Pepsi spa box. If you find that those two ways of communication, you go back that second week and the machine is still the way it was a week ago when you went, we'll figure out a protocol and email everyone on how we should handle that, because that should not be happening. Fills should be happening expeditedly and especially repair. So I'm happy that the repair part is happening, but the fills should be happening that way too. So thank you for letting us know that, and we'll get back to you on what steps we want to take for the next level of communication. So thank you.
Yeah, and just to add to that, it's not just me that's calling. The Connecticut Transit is one of the ones where it's been sold out for going on 3 weeks now. And the person that's in charge of, they have a person assigned to their vending machines inside their building, because if somebody loses $1.75, they have to log that and reimburse them. So there's somebody involved, not just myself at this location, and they've been making the same phone calls. That's what was, you know, concerning me. It's like, well, we can't sell product. There's no product to sell. And that's why I make my notes from 1 week to week. I don't always call in. If it's half full, I don't call it in. But when I go the next week and I say, well, it's even, you know, it's still half full, obviously I know they haven't come. And that's when, you know, the flags go up that where we need to do something. And like I said, there's no one, at least the numbers I call to talk to, it's just a message we're leaving. And it's obviously not being attended to.
So when you call, you're not speaking to somebody, you're leaving a message?
Yeah, that just gives you the runaround. Like, oh, I called the first, and I said, you know, I'm calling not for a repair, but for product refill. And then they send me to some other number, to some other, you know, they're doing the patch again. I'm not calling an extra number. But then it just goes to please leave a message.
That is correct. Okay. That's for a fill. So we will get back to you for a different method of communication for the fills. Now, when you're saying that the machine is half empty, I will tell you that electronically Pepsi has processes in place that there's a percentage of empty rows that the machine has to be depleted before it triggers that automatic refill. So if it's a matter of the machine looking half empty because it's a glass-filled machine, that means it hasn't reached that threshold yet to be triggered to automatically fill. Now, if you're seeing the same products constantly not being available, like your core products, like water, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, week after week, if those are the flavors that are mostly being purchased, then the machine is never going to trigger. It's going to take a long time for the machine to trigger that percentage it needs to fill those core flavors. So in that instance, that's another issue where we can then speak to Pepsi and talk about changing the planogram and doubling up on rows of the core products.
Is that something we can reach out to them directly?
We'll get back to you with the right protocol. So we want everybody to be doing the same thing to the same people.
Okay.
Thank you. But definitely, we want to hear about all of this, and it's an easy fix. So we'll figure out the best method for. Maybe what we should do, if this is helpful to you, is we could maybe take these questions or comments and then give you some feedback on how you handle each one. We can talk further at a later time about that. But you know, we're happy to do whatever is most helpful when you're going into these locations.
Hi, it's Brandy. I have some things to say on this matter, which I'm sure you all expected. I think that I'm having some of the same issues that Keith is having, and mine aren't all sites where I have to be led around, but just sites where maybe I have to check in, and they're like, oh, we see you more than we see the delivery people. You know, you're here, you, and I've been trying to get several things done. There's been one instance that's been pretty, I've been working on since we started in June on the first visit. It hasn't been rectified, and I feel that there is not good communication with Pepsi. I feel that I am communicating very well, but the communication on the other end is not so well. And I also feel my routes also feel this way, as they have spoken to Pepsi representatives themselves and not been heard or responded to in a timely manner. And by timely manner, I mean over 8 weeks. So I think that's something that we could hopefully work on with Pepsi to get better follow-through and communication on their end, as well as you mentioned, Tracy, about how if product's not selling and notice a lot of product, we can try and change the planogram. As somebody who has been trying to do that, it is, again, not an easy thing to do. I know it takes some time, but my problem has been with the person I've been communicating with not following through and doing the things that they said they were going to do. They agreed to make changes, and then they weren't made. So how can we get better communication from Pepsi, in my opinion, for these situations?
Yeah, that's we'll work on that. I know, you know, exactly what you were referring to, and I agree. It's been frustrating and timely. We do have some feedback on those specific locations as of yesterday. Again, we will, you know, listen to all the information that you are all providing and come up with the next best steps.
Yeah, let me just add to that, because, you know, I think what we have to remember, right, at the end of the day, these opportunities are predicated on the fact that we deliver, obviously, on our end, right? And when I say on our end, as administration, for you all who represent this, our first right opportunity. So in times in which become frustrating, and Brandy, I completely know your frustrations and do side with you, it is important that we, Tracy and I, you know, kind of maybe stress a little bit more the importance of follow-up and, you know, seeing things, ensuring that they see things through. Because what could happen, right, obviously, is that if we keep being present more than the change, so to back to Keith's point, if you keep going to a location and, you know, and the person that's signing you in, letting you in, just seeing you last week and machine was broke or wasn't filled, and then they're signing you in, broke, not filled, then at some point they're going to become frustrated just by seeing you and knowing that your position and responsibility isn't effectively creating the proper change. And so in turn, then it puts stress on this opportunity, in turn, you know, could even develop the need to remove machines because people are tired of seeing you and not seeing change. I get it. And I think that is something that we will have to take offline and kind of be a little bit more aggressive in our week-to-week conversations with Pepsi to say that it's important more than ever now to ensure follow-up and correction, because we now have people who are actually, you know, in place to assist you all, Pepsi, in, you know, ensuring that your equipment is functional and your product is filled. And, you know, obviously you guys are feeling a little pushback by those to whom you oversee, and that could draw, you know, obviously unnecessary or unwanted attention if we can't rectify timely. So it is important, and we will kind of relay that importance from that angle to Pepsi on our next call. So Brandy, you're being heard. Keith, you're definitely being heard. And any of you who may want to speak or feel that you have those same similar issues, we will go back to Pepsi this week and kind of relay this off of today's call. And hopefully we can come up with a plan in which seems sound, and we'll be able to kind of email you all as to what, you know, what was concluded out of our conversations with Pepsi. All right?
I have one more thing to add, more about like a question and something to add, but I guess one of the good things about what we're talking about today is that we're out there. You know, mm-hmm. The operators are doing their end of the bargain, and they're getting out there, and they're identifying these problems for us to fix, because if we weren't out there, you know, and we didn't know that these machines are being emptied or sold out and not being refilled, and there's no product to sell. Obviously, we get our money program, you know, through selling product, not having empty machines, you know, right, in some of these locations. That said, because we are doing these, you know, weekly audits, and we're doing the footwork here, when we talk about the 20 grand that we set aside for each route per se, you know, say, okay, my route, say it's 20 grand, And because I'm identifying these problems of machines not being filled, and now that we're, you know, putting their feet to the fire and we're filling the machines, say, at the end of the year, my group generated $23,000 instead of $20,000. Are we capped at the $20,000 for each operator, or if their group generates more than $20,000 because they're doing all the footwork, do they get the benefits of the higher amount?
Well, it's funny that you asked that question, because that's something that I wanted to double back with the newly elected committee, I guess, because it's not on today's agenda. But I've identified several operators who are well above the agreement, and I think we've identified that, one, because it's a transient location, so it may fall off, but two, there appears to have just been this massive influx of funds for that location. And so that is something that obviously I think needs to be a mutual agreement between us, the agency, and you all, the committee, as to what we want to do with that if we observe something that is not aligned with what we originally agreed with by several thousands of dollars. So I'd like to talk about that to whoever the new chair is going to be. I don't know. So I'd like to put that as a meeting for next week. In fact, after this meeting, I need to call a meeting with the committee for some first right votes on some other opportunities that don't really align. So that was going to be one of the agenda items for next week's discussion. But I would say, you know, if we're talking $1,000, $2,000, I have no opposition to letting that ride. I mean, you know, obviously these routes were based off of estimates. They were based off, you know, we don't know how the public's gonna, you know, their average purchase and so forth. So I'm not too critical on that, but I do think we need to have something solidified by the start of, if should we go permanent, we should have some language or something in place that kind of protects the budget. I mean, you know, I'm all for giving opportunity. I you know, if I had the money and confidence to know that we would be able to, you know, sustain a certain dollar amount every year on out, I'd be more than happy to give you that. But I think we all know these are trying times, just period, which, you know, I'll kind of elaborate a little bit more on the next agenda item. However, so we have to keep our eyes on what we kind of agreed with, and certainly should it go a little bit above and beyond, I'm not going to be too critical, but for those that it's way beyond, I kind of like the committee's input as to what their thoughts are on that.
Sure. Any other committee members have any comments or concerns about this vending room topic?
I have one. This is Frank.
Go ahead, Frank.
I know one of our roles of responsibility are with this is to either set up an email address to post it on the machine or do a suggestion box at the machine. First half of the question, I think putting an email address on the machine might be a little confusing because there's already an email and phone numbers there, so I don't know if that's just going to confuse the customer. And two, if we did put out a suggestion box or whatever, are we ready to, I mean, I'd love to make changes to some of my places, but listening to some of the struggles of operators getting changes made, should we really be advertising, give us a suggestion yet, or should we get it out there right away or hold off for a bit?
I would hold off until we establish on our end a process in which we are comfortable with Pepsi as far as corrective actions to ensuring that, you know, resolution is had within a timely manner. So I would say hold off until we kind of got our ducks in a row and make sure that, you know, if you should get a suggestion or so forth, you know, we can adhere to it if it's worthy of it. You know, a lot of times people, you know, may put a suggestion, or you may find in the suggestion box, it may just be more people stating they lost $1.50 or $2 than them actually voicing a change of product. for someone to voice a change in product, I'd have to believe they are like a diehard person for that product to, you know, stop and actually write that out. But historically, I've seen in suggestion boxes people's complaint of losing money more than anything. So for now, just hold off. You know, I'd say if there's issues that are identified or if people approach you with things of concern, then you can obviously just directly relay that to either Tracy or Pepsi, depending on what the concern, or the third party vendor if it's something related to their snack. So let's just kind of use our communication directly to our partners versus before putting out any suggestion boxes. Okay. And I agree, Frank. I would not put an email on there. Yeah, I would not put an email on a machine that suggestion box.
I just didn't want you to think we weren't, like, for example, I don't have an email posted at Vesby, so I didn't want you to think it's part of Frank's job, so why is there nothing, no suggestion box? So fair enough.
Yeah, no, you're all right.
Brandy, you had something?
I have two things. Yeah, I have two things. One, can we get a price list sent out? Because I'm finding a difference in pricing in a couple places right now that just recently occurred. I did mention it to Tracy, but I just want to make sure that I'm not misreporting something that, is it supposed to be this price or is it supposed to be that price kind of thing? You know, was there a price change go through and we just haven't been made aware yet? So just wondering if those of us that do have room can get an updated pricing list. And then the other thing I was going to add is two of my places told me I cannot put anything on the machines and they do not want a suggestion box.
That's fine. Yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, we have first right, but it's their request to having a snack. So we still have to abide by their rules to some degree. And we want to make sure we do that. We don't ever want to contest anything in which is being directed by the building authority. If something doesn't feel right, I would say less, send an email to us and let us digest the issue and see if, there's a validity to their request or their point to what state law is. And that being, if someone says they don't want something, then we're going to adhere to that. We don't want to cause trouble. The whole purpose of this opportunity is to essentially offer a seamless transaction. Yes, there's some glitches. Yes, there's some headaches, and there will continue to be headaches. We're talking about technology and a multi-billion-dollar company. Those two alone will always assure you some sort of headache, and I think we just have to play the fine line of balance, and we're going to do well in doing so. So we're going to be good.
And as far as the pricing list, Brandy, we purposely have not passed out the pricing list because we're in negotiations right now with Pepsi, which are hopefully have been finalized. So we're waiting for that final approval. So the new price list going forward will be handed out as soon as we get the final approval, which hopefully will be within the next week.
And is that for the snacks as well? Because it's actually the snacks where I'm having a discrepancy in pricing.
Yes. It'll be for everything.
Okay, great. Yep. And I just want to give a positive thing about the Pepsi situation. I do the aircraft at Groton, and I have to say that they are stocked very well. They are always stocked very well. The machines always work very well. And the only thing that they say is they would just like some Red Bull. But otherwise, I want to point out that Pepsi is doing a really good job with our military.
Good.
Anyone else?
One quick question on pricing. This is Frank again. I had let Jesse know this, but I never heard anything back on the situation. One of my snack machines has one product, which happens to be pistachios, that when we do the price check on it, it gives a price for cash and a price for a credit card. Is that something that should exist?
Yes. Currently, yes.
So for one product out of the whole machine?
Not one product out of the whole machine. The whole machine should have a cash price and the whole machine should have a credit card price.
Okay, so when we get new pricing, it'll reflect cash and credit card pricing.
Be continued. That issue is being talked about right now. And right now, we had said not to check pricing, actually, from the start of this pilot program, just because we knew we were in, talks with them. We didn't want everyone to, kind of memorize the old pricing when we knew probably it was going to be checked. So right now, until you hear and receive the new pricing guide, don't worry about pricing.
Good enough. Anyone else? All right, moving on to vending contract update.
All right, let's skip that. Let's skip that subject.
I'm just kidding.
All right, so as Tracy just ended that with, we are in active negotiations with Pepsi. Let's just start off with the reality. Reality is everything's high. Everything's high in our lives. Everything in the grocery store, CVS, anywhere you want to go, it's high. So obviously there's a reason behind that. Why is it high? Because their cost is high and everything associated with their cost is high. Labor is high. We know this. We all know this. We all come from the business background, so we understand it. So it's no surprise to us that, Pepsi and their third parties have come to us with the same concerns. And with that, obviously it's always a sticker shock and it's always a touchy conversation and subject to discuss when anyone's is approaching you about price increasing when you're leaving, work to then go to your local store to face the realities in which they're requesting. We are no different in the sense of our business to Pepsi and the third party companies. They have endured price increases several in a period of time, in a year's period, and they just can't seem to absorb anymore. So with that, they've come with a price increase request, and we are tentatively in agreement to allowing it. The reality is, prior to even having this tentative agreement, Tracy and myself, and we've kind of looked around and did our market analysis along with DAS. They have they look from a different perspective as to cost averages for the products in which are being requested an increase on, and certainly, whether you like it or not, the prices in which Pepsi and Cerebralmation and the other two third-party companies have requested increases are essentially in line with today. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the big Y buy two get three free. I'm talking about the CVS, the local markets in which one could say, all right, if this price point was too high, where are they going in the vicinity within a mile? And those vicinities and those locations all are right at the price points in which they're requesting. So this is that piece of the, big fish swallowing little fish syndrome, is that, you're talking about, well, where are you going to buy a Pepsi who controls the market at a lower cost when Pepsi controls the cost? Right. And so, every store has the, buy one, get one half off deal. But we can't compare to that. We have to compare apples to apples. And that is comparing, other vending machines that are not affiliated with our state contract. That's comparing, again, to the local retail stores, the CVS, the Walgreens, those, not the Stop and Shops, not the grocery stores, but entities in which someone could, like the gas stations, can just run in and run out. Their request kind of aligns with today's market. So in order for us to kind of stay afloat, in order for this contract to remain of some value in their eyes, we sometimes have to position ourselves to do what's necessary for the long term. Of course, there's going to be a population of people who are at their wits' end with the pricing, and they're just no longer going to purchase. I assure you that that decision of not purchasing will not be, the final determination based off of our Besby machine. It may just be the fact that, they're just no longer wanting to pay that price point for that product. It's just where we're headed. Unfortunately, the manufacturers create the pricing, the cost, and so in turn, the resellers have to do what they have to do to stay afloat and meet their profit margins. So right now, we're tentatively in agreement of a price increase, and we're just waiting on DAS to kind of finalize it. Again, this is a DAS Pepsi contract.
Adam Fairbanks.
Hey, Adam. it is a DAS Pepsi contract, so therefore we have to kind of play in the lines of DAS and see where things stand.